Resume our study at Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. 1:10. We saw that the word approve is dokimazo, which means to test, and God will test Bible doctrine in your brain. Now, if you don't have any Bible doctrine, of course you're not going to get any test. So you have the charge of the mosquito, and you have the charge of the elephant. The more Bible doctrine you get, the higher the testing level. For example, the book of Job. Job was a mature believer, and he got huge tests. So God in 1 Corinthians says, I'll never give you a test that you don't already have the answer to. Wouldn't that be good as a student? You know, you have all the answers and the professor gives you the test. You've got the answer sheet right in front of you. It's not a closed book exam, it's open book. So God says, I'll never give you a test more than you are prepared to handle. So if you don't have anything up in your brain, you're not going to get much of a test. But Job, of course, was a mature believer. He knew God, and he got some hellacious tests. He passed the first two tests, flunked the third, and finally passed it. He got a retest many, many times. So that's what that means, dokimazo. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. The word for excellent is diaphero. Diaphero, D-I-A-P-H-E-R-O, which means, it doesn't mean excellent. It means to distinguish between good and evil. It means to distinguish between good and evil with the emphasis on the fact that you can distinguish. So they translated it as excellent. In other words, you have wisdom. Wisdom means if you know, for example, you know the gospel. Now you got wisdom. When somebody comes up and says, oh, no, brother, you got to do this to be saved. You got wisdom. No, you don't. How do I do all that crap? All I got to do is believe that Christ died for my sins. What did the thief on the cross do to be saved? Did he do any good deeds? No. Can't. His hands are nailed to a cross. Did he say, I'm sorry for all my sins? Nope. Didn't say, I'm sorry. Did he get dunked in water? Nope, didn't get baptized and dunked in water. That's another false doctrine. Well, what did he do to get saved? Well, he said kurios in the Greek. K-U-R-I-O-S, which means God. Now, he heard the gospel many times. Everybody knew the gospel. This person claims to be the Messiah. He said, God, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Nah, I'm sorry, your life sucks. You were a murderer and a thief all your life. You just can't get it the last second. Is that what he said? No. He said, you're in. That's it. So see, that offends a lot of people. Oh, it's too easy. Again, if God is love, shouldn't it be easy? Makes sense to me. Makes perfect sense to me. Religion's got you working all your life. And that's why Jesus said, the burden of religion is heavy. He says, come unto me, and my burden is light. I carry all the burden. All you got to do is say, I'll take it. So these are mature believers that Paul's writing this letter to. Baby believers aren't going to get any tests. You got to get some doctrine in your brain before he gives you a test because there's nothing to test. You don't know anything. A lot of Christians, they don't even know they're saved. They're going to be pleasantly surprised. They don't even know they're saved. Again, I got saved at 10 or 11. I heard it. I'll take it. Mama told the gospel or somebody. I'll take it. And that's all they ever did, ever, ever, ever. And they'll be very happy when they find out they're in heaven, and they don't even believe they're going to heaven. Because, I did some horrible. I know one person. I've talked to them very carefully. They are a believer, but they don't think they're going to heaven because they did some horrible sins in their lives. But see, that's a me problem. They don't understand. Just logic 101. If Christ died for the sins you did, how can that keep you out? They can't. He didn't say, I just died for 99.9% of sins. He died for all of them. So then he says, the things that are excellent. In other words, when you get Bible doctrine, you'll be able to distinguish evil from good and good from evil. You'll know the difference. And then it says, in order to be sincere. The word for sincere is E-I-L-I-K-I-N-E-S-S, which is pronounced I-lik-re-nas. Which means to be found pure under the sunlight. Remember, this is a language that's written, it's a dead language. Koine Greek is no longer spoken. Modern Greek is spoken. So what it means is that you put something under the, if you wanted to see something in the ancient world, you had to get out in the sunlight. You know, if you want to get some real bright light on it, so you can go out in the sunlight. And that's what that means. In order to go out into the sunlight and see what you're seeing. So to be found pure under the sunlight, and that's what God looks at, under the sunlight. The spotlight of grace looks at these things. And blameless. The word for blameless is apros kopas, which means not stumbling about. That's all it means. Not stumbling about. You're walking. You know, you get too much beer, you're kind of stumbling about. Because you're walking a straight line. You're not stumbling around. Now, the unbeliever is in darkness. They stumble around all their life. They don't know top up from top down. They're, anybody that comes along feeds them some BS and they follow it. Same with most believers. Most believers, they don't know any Bible doctrine whatsoever. Whatsoever. And they say, well, we're a Christian church. I said, let me give you a quiz, dude, Christian church. You know, give me the 10 attributes of God. Don't know. What's the hypostatic union? Don't know. What's the angelic conflict? What's that? What about predestination and election? Distinguish the two. Don't know it. Never heard of it. What is it? Now, you can sing those songs, I love Jesus, till you're blue in the face, but only other idiots are going to believe you. Somebody that's got discernment, they just kind of smile at you. Oh, that's nice. Have a nice day. But again, even if Jesus Christ was standing right here giving this Bible class, because I'm not a perfect person, what would be the result if you don't want to learn it? Nothing. How do we know that? That's what he did. He taught Bible class. And the vast majority of people that sat in his class every day rejected it. So what's the fault? It's not the fault of the speaker. He's perfect. His enunciation is perfect. He doesn't spit on you. His diction is perfect. He tells perfect jokes. Everything's perfect. But if you're on negative volition in your soul, it doesn't matter if God himself has given you the Bible class or the gospel. You will not believe it. Will not believe it. That's called negative volition. Because the human soul is like a car battery. It's got a positive pole and a negative pole. So I'm drawing up a car battery with a V in it. That's your volition. This is what makes you a human. If your little signal is on negative volition, I don't care if Jesus himself gave you the gospel, you'd say no. I don't care if you saw 5,000 miracles, you wouldn't believe it. Because lots of people saw him do miracles, they still rejected him. Miracles will impress you, excite you. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't save you. These people saw these miracles. Vast majority. What their conclusion was, ooh, this is a miracle man. Let's have him kill all the Romans and take over the country. That's all they thought about. He gave them the gospel. How to be saved. Didn't want it. If you're on positive signals in your soul, though, boy, you hear the gospel, you'll jump on it like that. Same with a believer. Once you're saved, your volition kicks back in. If you want to learn about God, then he'll send somebody to teach you. If you don't want to learn about God, even if you hear perfect Bible doctrine, you will hate it. You'll reject it. But when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to ask you this question. What did you do with the time that I gave you? Because I expected you to grow up from a baby where you learned nothing. And we all started out this way. When I was born again, I didn't know crap. I didn't even know I'm saved. I didn't know anything about anything. Went to a lot of stupid churches, but I knew they were full of crap. Pardon my language. The Bible has a lot of bad words in it. If you stick around, ladies, long enough, I'll give you all the bad words. But see, they won't translate them. Because, oh, God doesn't have bad words. Are you kidding me? I gave you one bad word already, nothos, which means bastard. You know how they translate that? You're an illegitimate child. That doesn't communicate. It doesn't say. The word for illegitimate child is not nothos. You're a bastard. That's God's divine attitude. But God wants that bastard to get into his family. So he made all the work necessary to do it. And once you're in, God has a maximum love for you. You're now his child. You'll always be his child. So he'll ask you what you did, and he'll roll back the tape on your life. And you can't really say, well, I never had a chance, really. Here's five chances you had where I sent you someone to teach you that knew what they're talking about, and you said no. So don't even tell him you didn't have a chance. It's all about this. And the Bible says you will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Because you realize for the first time you pissed your life away. But who did it? Well, you did it to yourself. And the unbeliever, who did it? You did it to yourself. God wants you to be saved, and God wants the baby believer to grow up to an adult. And if you don't grow up to an adult, well, see, that's why I was one time, I told you, I was in New York. One time, people everywhere. And I thought to myself, it's a damn shame. Most of these people are probably going to hell. It's a damn shame most of the believers are probably going to be babies in heaven for all eternity. And then I thought to myself, well, why is that so? Because that's what they want. It's not what God wants. Everybody's going to get exactly what you want. You want to go to heaven? God did all the work. You want to reach maturity? God did all the work. Now, I'll agree with you. To be saved takes about 5 seconds. That's easy. To get here, yeah, that takes some time. That takes thousands of decisions to expose yourself to an accurate Bible teacher. But, you know, God gives you the time. God gives you the gas to get here, the clothes to get here. All you got to do is say, I want to learn something. And if you don't, you won't. And if you don't, even if Jesus taught you, you wouldn't respond to it. The issue is never the quality of the presentation. The issue is always you and me. We're all in the same boat. And of course, my testimony will be your testimony. Oh, I liked Bible doctrine for a while, then I forgot about it. And I got divine discipline because the Bible says, who I love, I will skin you alive with a whip, is what it literally says. Well, who does God love?
You.
All believers, God has a maximum love for all believers. He loves this believer and this believer exactly the same. No difference. The Bible says, I love all believers, the mature ones and the baby ones, the same. Because you're my children, you have my righteousness that you got the second you believed. The issue is, do you love God? The baby believer cannot love God. This person can. The baby one can't. Oh, they can say the words. I'm not buying it. They don't love God. If you love God, dude, you would know something. So that's the proof, is in the pudding. So Jesus will say to you in this class, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little thing. I'm going to make you rulers over vast portions of the universes that I'm going to create. And that's what you're... Now, what's the faithful in a little thing that you've been faithful in a little thing? Learned doctrine. All you had to do is show up and learn a little bit. That's how you glorify God. But there's a darkness. The darkness is powerful. And the darkness is all about human works. And that's why in your book, we've got the doctrine of good and evil. Good and evil is like a coin. Okay? You've got a coin here. A coin has two sides. One side on the coin of good and evil says sin. We all got the sin stuff, right? That's not a hard math problem. What's the other side? Ever wonder what the other side of that coin is of good and evil? Human good. The other side of the coin is human works. Because religion says, you're not saved by grace. You're saved by works, by doing good. You got to be good, do good, or you're going to hell. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's evil. Evil. And where did this evil come from? Well, the super genius Satan is the first one that came up with it. It's envy. And that's what he promotes. But it's smart. You can't cross swords with Satan. He runs circles around your IQ. Only way you got a chance to resist the devil, as the Bible says here, as we just studied the word diaphero to distinguish between good and evil, well, you got to know God's mind, and then you can know this is crap. But if you don't know God's mind, you ain't got a chance to get out of this. And most believers are sucked in here their entire life, and they'll die and go to heaven. They're in here all their life. Some of them are very good people. But see, being a good person doesn't put Bible doctrine in your brain. Some of them are honest. Many of them die for their country in combat. Doesn't mean a thing. That will not save you, and it will not put Bible doctrine in your brain. So that's the issue. That's what Paul is saying here. In order to be found pure under the sunlight, which is sincere, and blameless, which is the word aproskopos, which means not to stumble about, until the day of Christ. Why are we mentioning the day of Christ? Well, that's what it says. What's the day of Christ? Well, the day of Christ is two things for you. One, when you kick the bucket. That's your day of Christ because you're dead. Time over. Time out. X on the board is when you're born. We're all born as in the Satan's kingdom as bastards. Y is when you're born again. Born again. Now you've got... You're all in Y right now. Now, I'm a little further down the train track than you, many of you in here, you youngsters. So we're all riding a death train. And when that train stops, you got to get off. And so do I. Now, again, law of averages, yeah, you're probably going to outlive me, but you could get whacked tomorrow night or tonight on Halloween, getting drunk, walking across the street. Well, your death train came a little early. But it's going to come to all of us. And death's not a pleasant thing. Christ has conquered death. But if you're a believer, of course, you're going to heaven. There is no more death. But from Y to Z, you've got some time on the game clock. And that's what Jesus is going to ask you. What did you do with that time? Did you do what I told you to do? And most Christians, of course, do not. They do not. They don't want it. Why don't they want it? They make your own choice. Your worst enemy in this life, people say, well, I got this enemy that the devil's after. The devil ain't after you. You're small fries. What's your worst enemy? Look in the mirror. You are your worst enemy. Because you don't want it. Something else is more important. And of course, a lot of people say, well, I've heard that doctrine, so I don't want to hear it anymore. Do you have a hobby? Yeah. Do you ever get tired of your hobby? No. You can do that sucker all day long. Why does Bible doctrine bore you? Because of you. So, but be honest with yourself. Hey, Bible doctrine bores me. Well, go anyway. Tell your ass to get up out of bed or whatever it is and go anyway. Because there'll come a time when it will not bore you anymore. You'll wonder, wow, where have you been all my life? Because it stabilizes you. You don't stumble about as we have this word here. And that's the word blameless. You don't stumble about. You know where you're going. And you know you're doing what you're supposed to do. And the day of Christ, again, will be when you die or the rapture. That's the next event in the Bible that will occur. I don't know when it will occur. But please hold on to your money because there's a lot of nuts that will say, oh, there's a sign in Jerusalem. The rapture is coming. It's a bunch of nonsense. There is no sign before the rapture comes. Paul and Peter expected it in their day 2,000 years ago. What is the rapture? Well, it's a Bible doctrine. Jesus says, I will come back in the clouds, and at that time, all believers that are alive on the earth will be taken off the earth. They'll be met with the dead unbelievers. You'll get the resurrection body, and then you go to heaven. Then you've got 7 years on the earth called the tribulation, and that will literally be a hell on earth. You won't be here because the rapture will either get you. That's the day of Christ for you. Either the rapture occurs, maybe 5 minutes from now, or you die. That's your day. But when you die or the rapture occurs, time over. There's no other opportunity for you to grow. That's it. Whatever level you've got to, on this 45-degree angle, that's where you'll be for all eternity. So you will either be a loser believer in heaven as a private E1, or you'll be a 4-star general. Now, what does God want you to be? Well, God wants you to be a 5-star general. And he's made all the provisions to get you there. He has made all the provisions to get you to maturity. In eternity past, he knew you were a screw-up. Maybe you don't know it, but I'll tell you, you're a screw-up. He knows I'm a screw-up. But he knew one thing else. We got positive volition. So as much as I screwed up, he's bailed me out. And if you're honest with yourself, you've screwed up. You didn't deserve to get bailed out. He bailed you out because you're his child. He wants you to be a 4-star general. Apparently, most believers don't. And to me, I can't understand that. To me, there's two things I cannot fathom. Who would say no to the gospel? Are you an idiot? I can cure a lot of things, but I can't cure stupid. They're just, no, don't want it. And then who would say no to being a 4-star general in eternity? Eternity's a long time. Use your time wisely right now, because it ain't that long. Remember when you were in elementary school? Now you're here. Now you're in the old folks' home. And that's how quick it goes. So take advantage of the advantages. God is your father. He's done everything for you and me. And we're like idiots, myself included. But see, he has a great sense of humor. He has a great sense of humor. As long as you put in a nickel, he'll give you $1 trillion. All you got to do is be faithful in a little thing, and I will make you rulers over vast things. And so some of us will be going to other people's plantation and getting a drink, you know, getting a drink here, getting a drink there. The Bible talks about this. There is no equality in heaven. Now, everybody has equal opportunity to be a 5-star general. And if you're not a 5-star general, look in the frickin' mirror. You did it to yourself. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We thank you for your grace, which is beyond our imagination. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the life that you've given us. We thank you for second, third, fourth, fifth, umpteenth chances to move forward. Challenge us to move forward with your discipline so that we can reach the high ground of spiritual maturity as you have commanded us to do. In Christ's name, amen.